The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Well, I have made reference to a survey that was released recently that said that more than 25% of people who attended religious services at least once a month before the novel coronavirus pandemic have no plans to return to their church, synagogue, or mosque in the next few weeks as lockdown restrictions continue to be lifted. That's according to a recent AP NORC poll. Now, it's a bit confusing. What does that mean in the next few weeks? Does it mean we're going to wait a little while and then go back to church? Not entirely clear. And it was a nationwide poll, but very small sampling, 1,125 adults with a plus or minus error of 4.2%. Now, lots of people are looking forward to reconnecting with family and friends, shopping for fun, and going out to eat as the lockdown restrictions have been and are being lifted. But only 34% in general say they plan on attending in-person religious services in the next few weeks. And while a majority of people who attended religious services at least once per month say that they plan on attending those services in person in the coming weeks, 27% said they have no plans to do so just yet and aren't quite sure they will at all. Well, here to talk about this phenomenon and this trend and what the scriptures have to say is Pastor Scott Gilchrist. He's senior pastor at Southwest Bible Church. He's also the teacher of the Downtown Bible Class, a program heard right here on KPDQ. Welcome back, Pastor Scott.
Hey, thanks, Georgine. It's great to be with you.
Well, this is my third day back in the studios at KPDQ, and it's kind of thrilling to have a real live conversation with you. So thanks for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm glad you're back at the actual studio. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is, and thank you. Thank you so much. You know, there's a lot of discussion these days about the impact that the pandemic has had and will have on the church moving forward. Let me just ask you to begin with your general thoughts on the pandemic. It's not unprecedented in terms of nothing like this has ever happened before. Churches shut down when there were other things similar to this. This is a different era. What are your thoughts about the impact of the pandemic and maybe exposing some of our weaknesses in the church or giving us an excuse to just walk away altogether?
Yeah, that's a big topic. I would say, actually, that this is unprecedented in my experience, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm aware that in history there's been things like this. But, boy, to be told not to meet for a long period of time in our country, that was unprecedented. And I think what you said is right. It exposes some weaknesses in the church and also potentially some strengths. And God can use, he always uses negative things for good. And I think that certainly we've experienced that as a congregation. And I think, but in the big picture, I think that it's an opportunity. It's a foothold for the evil one to keep people away from something that's so essential to our spiritual life, which is gathering and fellowshipping together. And so I've been concerned about it from the very beginning, and we've been so thankful that we've been able to, here in Oregon, we've been able to meet actually continually. We were restricted for some months, but boy, we've been very thankful that we weren't under the restriction that some places mm-hmm. were.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
Well, I think that the individual Christian is so, I think we've learned so much about our need for gathering and the fellowship and the in-person encouragement that takes place when we gather together. And at the same time, there's always that potential. I was thinking of when you asked that question, that little phrase in Hebrews 10 where he exhorts us to not forsake the assembling. He also adds, as is the habit of some. It's always been part of the spiritual dynamic that we as Christians are tempted to think we can go it alone or get our, walk with the Lord without the help of others. And that's always a negative. And I've always seen that as a negative when I, as a pastor, when I see people start to minimize the need to gather. And so my concern as a shepherd has been that some sheep will be tempted to develop bad habits, so to speak, and try to exist without the fellowship of the brothers.
I know that in live streaming, a lot of churches experienced people sitting in on the service from places outside of the direct community. Did you experience that? I know that I spent a lot of my time recuperating at Southwest Bible watching the live stream service. I so appreciated having that opportunity when, first of all, churches were not available to attend, but I wasn't in a position to attend at all. Did you find that there were people enjoying your services, or was it even possible to track that, that wouldn't normally attend at Southwest Bible?
You know, that's very true, and that was one of the silver linings. And in fact, when you and I would talk from time to time, it was always an encouragement to me to know that, that you were able to worship with us on live stream. And we had had our live stream developed, I think, and going before the COVID hit, but I'm so thankful for the technology that allowed us to continue and actually improve it. And yeah, we hear from people really all over the country and around the world that are sitting in, so to speak, and worshiping with us. I was talking to another pastor earlier this week, and he was mentioning that some people from another state wanted to join his church because they had been, you know, worshiping with that local congregation via live stream, and they applied for membership. And I thought, well, that's neat. That's a powerful positive thing that has happened from the necessity of worshiping by live stream.
Well, let's talk about what the scriptures have to say about our assembling ourselves together. You know, when you're at home and you're in your PJs and the service comes on, you make yourself comfortable. You might sing along with the worship team. You might not. You may take a note or two as the sermon is being delivered. Why not just stay home and be kind of a loose member of a congregation of people? Although in a live stream, you don't really see the congregation. You don't hear them. You're really just viewing the people on the platform. For those who think, I can really enjoy a number of different churches and not have to actually become a part of one. Why not?
Well, there's so many reasons. The expression of Christianity, the genuine expression of it, is always going to be tied with Jesus' words when he said, "This is how they'll know you're my disciples, by your love for one another." And, of course, love in the scripture, the way Jesus used that term, it's not merely saying you love people, it's acting on it. And So I just think that the love for one another that is the earmark of a believer will manifest itself in encouraging one another, teaching one another, admonishing one another, caring for one another, praying for one another. And those things just don't happen near as readily. I mean, they can, and I don't mean to minimize what has happened, as we can connect electronically. I mean, you and I are in the same room right now. I'm not in the studio, and we can encourage each other. Mm-hmm. But there's something about it. In fact, when you mentioned the pajamas and that sort of thing, I think there was about 4 weeks at the height of the restrictions where we pre-recorded the live stream earlier in the week. And then I actually experienced sitting in the family room watching, And I noticed right away just the lack of connection. And then I noticed some positives. For instance, when we had others over to join us, we sang louder in the family room, and there was some joy that was exuded, you know. And so the reality, but boy, it's easy, as you said, to just kind of say, I can enjoy this. And, you know, church isn't really about just enjoying this, even though we fall into that kind of thinking. But it's an active participation in worship and an active participation in those many manifest ways that the Bible talks about loving one another. So I think even as you say it, one of the most valuable things an individual Christian can do is to trace that concept through the New Testament, that one another concept. Mm-hmm. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to care for one another, that kind of thing. And it's all under the umbrella of loving one another. So I think that happens best when we're gathering together.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Pastor Scott Gilchrist, senior pastor at Southwest Bible Church and a teacher at the Downtown Bible Class, heard here on KPDQ. We'll continue our conversation in just a few moments, so stay with us.
You're listening to the Georgene Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
We're back. You're listening to the Georgene Rice Show. I'm continuing my conversation with Pastor Scott Gilchrist, senior pastor at Southwest Bible Church and the teacher of the Downtown Bible Class, the program heard right here on KPDQ. Now, I have to confess, Pastor Scott, this being my first live interview since being back in the station, I wasn't quite sure how to pick up your call or how to hang it up. You would think I would remember all of that, but it's been almost a year and a half. So a little rusty, but glad to have you with us. Clark, I'm not sure. I'm still not sure I hit the right. Okay, I'm going to. Clark is coming out of the engineer's booth to the studio. I hit this one. Wasn't that right? Okay, I'll remember that next time. Thank you, Clark. Sorry you have to be interviewed by an amateur, Pastor Scott.
No, I don't think you're an amateur.
You know, it's so funny. It's been such a long time since I've been in here. I really had to rethink how to do certain things. There's a computer screen to my left that tells me when the computer, it tells us by computer when the commercial breaks are coming and how long they are. I still haven't turned it on because I can't remember how to do that. So the fact that I have you back on the line is
I feel your pain.
Well, let me ask you what you think God is teaching us through this season. I know that God never wastes a set of circumstances. He's always teaching us and refining us and conforming us to the image of his son. Do you think there's an overarching lesson that he is teaching his people through this pandemic and the quarantine that resulted?
Well, I don't know if I could say the overarching lesson, but I can name several that come to my mind. Even during that commercial break, I was thinking of the accountability that we have with one another when we gather. And, you know, we're prone to wander, the old hymn puts it, prone to leave the one I love. We can wander off, and the Bible is full of exhortations to not turn to the right or to the left. And sometimes when my vision is just wandering, I need a brother or a sister to correct it, you know, to call me back. And so we need one another in that way. We need the leaders of the local church. We're under their authority, and we're to obey them. So those things come to my mind as kind of following up on what we were talking about. And then I think, you know, we've experienced lots and lots of people coming to value the Lord more during this time and value the special nature of worshiping on Resurrection Day each week. It's just been remarkable to me. As I was thinking about that one another concept and loving one another being the earmark of the believer, Sunday, we actually have gathered. We have the privilege of gathering outside during this weather, and so we've been able to combine our two worship services into one the last 2 weeks, and it's been so good to see everybody together. And after the service, a young man came up to me that I've had several follow-up times with. He came to Christ about 8 weeks ago during this time, and he is just so thrilled to know his Savior that he'd never known before, and he's experiencing the love and that sort of thing. And he came up to me, waited till everyone was kind of done talking, and he said, "Scott, what, how can I pray for you?" And I thought, wow, that is so neat to have a new babe in Christ want to pray for me. And he wanted to know how, you know, what specifically. And I answered him like I usually answer people. I said, you know, I would ask you to pray that I won't leave my first love. That's my habitual prayer request. And that was, it gave me a chance to kind of talk to him about how Jesus warned about that. And I've seen that happen in people's lives, and I'm prone to that if I'm not careful. And so I asked him to pray for that, and he said he would. And obviously I was kind of giving him a little teaching too, that we need to guard our hearts and keep that love for Christ fervent. And I think in the bigger picture, the isolation and the depression that people have experienced as our culture has been through such a traumatic year, I think those things can be and are used to drive us to what our real hope is. And so I guess if I thought of an overarching thought, I would say that I think God is sifting, he's pruning. And pruning can be painful, but it's always done by the perfect vine dresser, the Father, for our good and for his glory. And I was meditating earlier today on John 15, where Jesus said he's the vine and the Father is the vine dresser. And wherever he sees a branch that bears fruit, he'll prune it, but it might bear more fruit. Mm-hmm. And then he mentions that when we abide in him and his words abide in us, we'll bear much fruit and glorify God. And I sense that many, many Christians have deepened their commitment to what really counts during this year. And especially as we're seeing the restrictions lifted, I'm getting to interact with more of them. We've been, you know, able to be together now for months, and we're thankful for that. And I see people with a renewed zeal and a renewed perspective that is more eternal in its perspective. The New Testament's full of saying these comments, you know, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. And when we've kind of seen our culture go through the trauma that it's been through, I think one of the good things that can happen is that we realize this world really isn't our home. We're just passing through, and our citizenship is in heaven. And it's not that we're not involved and very you know, we're to be salt and light right here and now, but to keep our perspective of what really counts and to be thinking long-term as in eternal thought and mindset, I've seen that increase in my own life, and I think in many, many others too. So that's one thing that I think God has done through this. And I think it's also given me much more empathy for the church around the world. Earlier, you know, when I said, well, it's kind of unprecedented in my life, well, yes and no. Maybe in my little experience in America, but I know enough about the church overseas, and I've been privileged to teach overseas enough to know that suffering for Christ is happening all through this era and really all through church history. And there are places where they're not seeing the restrictions lifted. The restrictions weren't driven by COVID to begin with. They were driven by communism or the other kinds of oppressive systems that are constantly you know, happening in places around the world. And so I've found myself much more empathetic for my brothers and sisters and actually obeying the command to pray for them, pray for those who are in prison for the Lord's sake, as if we were in prison with them, since we're in the same body.
Yeah. One quick question before we go. Downtown Bible class, I know, had been suspended because of the pandemic. Plans for reopening anytime soon?
You know, we actually don't have any anything on the schedule. As you know, downtown has been devastated as far as the business district, and so we don't have that on the schedule yet. What we're doing is encouraging people, you know, via the radio. We're so thankful. We haven't missed a program during this whole time, and we're so thankful for KBDQ and the radio ministry and then our online ministry. So in a quick way, that's how I'd answer that.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. Well, Pastor Scott, thank you so much for talking with us today.
I appreciate your faithful ministry.
God bless.
Great to be with you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.